Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. The White House says it cannot conclude at this time that China-based hackers carried out the massive cyber attack on a federal agency to collect data on millions of U.S. government employees. Spokesman Josh Earnest said Friday the FBI continues to investigate the security breach.
They are working actively to understand exactly the scope of this particular intrusion, but also to determine who is responsible and to make sure that we can take steps that are necessary to hold the individuals who are responsible for this incident.
Earlier, U.S. law enforcement officials said China-based hackers, possibly with links to China's government, were behind the attack. China's foreign ministry spokesman Hong Lei on Friday slammed the accusations as irresponsible. United Nations is urging all sides in the Ukraine conflict to fully respect the ceasefire agreement reached earlier this year. Ukraine's ambassador to the UN, Yuri Sergeyev, told the Security Council meeting Friday that Russia and Russia-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine were guilty of grave violations, as he put it, of the ceasefire agreement. Russian Ambassador Vitaly Churkin accused Ukrainian forces of regularly shelling cities and villages in rebel-controlled areas. The United Nations top human rights official says he's deeply concerned that no action has been taken over allegations that African Union peacekeepers killed 11 people in the Central African Republic last year. Zeid Raad al-Hussein said Friday that a full and transparent investigation has not been conducted. Central African Republic was hit by sectarian violence more than a year ago when Christian militia was formed to combat the mostly Muslim rebels who had taken over the country. This is VOA News. United States is urging Rwanda not to make constitutional changes that would allow President Paul Kagame to run for a third term. In a statement on Friday to VOA's French to Africa service, State Department said the U.S. believes democracy is best advanced by developing, in their words, strong institutions, not strong men. Mr. Kagame has ruled Rwanda since the end of the 1994 genocide and has won two presidential elections in 2003 and in 2010. The annual World Economic Forum on Africa took place in Cape Town, South Africa this week. VOA's Anita Powell has our report.
For centuries, the African continent has been seen as an economic battlefield for its rich natural resources. But officials, investors, and business leaders have tried for 25 years to change that mindset at the annual World Economic Forum on Africa. Now the WEF is focused on another goal, making sure that Africa's economic growth impacts hundreds of millions of Africans who struggle to survive in chronic, grinding poverty. Elizabeth Littlefield is president and CEO of the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, a U.S. government organization that provides financing for private sector projects.
We're seeing more and more interest. One challenge that I'm quite interested in is how do we make sure that economic growth, which is so powerful in so much of the continent, benefits all of Africans, lifts up livelihoods, and improves lives.
Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Pakistani police official says 8 of the 10 men convicted and jailed for an attack on Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai for her activism for female education have been freed. In April, Pakistani officials said the 10 men had been found guilty of the planning and execution of the attack on Malala and were sentenced to at least 25 years in prison. These were the first convictions in the 2012 attack on Malala, who was 14 years old when she was shot on her way home from school in the Swat Valley. She survived and was airlifted for treatment to Britain, where she now resides. Pakistani Taliban group claimed responsibility for the attack and said it would target Malala if again ever she were to return to Pakistan. A man in the U.S. state of Texas has been sentenced to almost 7 years in prison for planning to join the militant group Islamic State in Syria. 24-year-old Michael Todd Wolf, who called himself Farouk, was sentenced Friday in a federal court in Texas for attempting to provide material support to a designated terrorist organization. Wolf had arranged to meet with an FBI undercover employee who he believed would help him travel to Syria, where he planned to join the militants. Wolf pleaded guilty to the charges against him.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
This is Russ Davis. Welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. On this edition of the program, we'll give you our third in our three-part series of conversations with the 2015 National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Masters. This time, it's the saxophonist from Memphis, Tennessee, George Coleman. When he was introduced on stage at the Jazz at Lincoln Center gala event that was the awards ceremony as well as the grand concert celebrating the NEA Jazz Masters, he was introduced as the refugee from Tennessee. And a spirited conversation we had with a gentleman who is a spirited saxophone player, George Coleman. I look forward to sharing those thoughts with you and lots of his wonderful music on this edition of Jazz America. But first, we must mark the passing of another of the greats of jazz history who's just left us. Marcus Belgrave, the terrific trumpeter, died at the age of 78 just a few days ago. He was known as a world-class trumpet player and the reigning patriarch of Detroit's jazz scene. Yes, though he was born in Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, he decided to move a little bit further to the Midwest, to Detroit, to set up shop instead of going to the major musical jazz center of New York City. And many people said, what in the world is Marcus Belgrave doing in Detroit? Well, what he was doing was teaching many others to make jazz at a high level, as well as making his own great musical statement. Marcus Belgrave started working with the great Ray Charles when he was 21 years old. He also worked with Max Roach and Charles Mingus, and then went on to his own solo career and helped some of the young players in Detroit become major artists too. He is known to have helped Jerry Allen, the great pianist, Robert Hurst, the terrific bassist, saxophonist Kenny Garrett, violinist Regina Carter, drummers Kareem Riggins and Ollie Jackson to further their careers, and they all loved him deeply. He made wonderful music from his base in Detroit and passed away at the age of 78. He had pulmonary and breathing problems, in fact was on oxygen 24 hours a day for a few years now, and the word is that in his hospital bed he was still playing the trumpet. Let's enjoy Marcus Belgrave playing the trumpet right now on a song from the 1970s release Gemini. Here's a song entitled Gemini 2, as we remember Marcus Belgrave to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America. We'll be right back.
mine treats me oh so mean. My man, he don't love me, treats me awful mean. He's the lowest man that I've ever seen. Stripes are really yellow. But when he starts to love me, he's so fine and mellow. Love will make you drink and gamble, make you stay out all night long. Love will make you drink and gamble, make you stay out all night long. Love will make you do things that you know is wrong.
The great vocalist from Canada, Molly Johnson, who many people have remarked sounds so much like Billie Holiday. From her new release, which is a collection of songs made famous by Billie Holiday, titled Because of Billie, that's Fine and Mellow. And Molly Johnson is quoted on this recording as saying, "For years, people have said to me, you are so much like Billie Holiday. And my answer has been, no, I am because of Billie." Another salute to Billie Holiday during the year of her 100th birthday. Now, let's enjoy a conversation I enjoyed with NEA Jazz Master George Coleman just before the great awards ceremony, where he was named a National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master, and a concert celebrating all of the NEA Jazz Masters inducted this year. Charles Lloyd and Carla Bley have joined us for conversation earlier here on Jazz America. Now it's time to turn to George Coleman. I've been sitting here listening to George Coleman warming up, and there aren't a lot of folks I can think of who can make a tenor saxophone sound like sometimes a soprano, then an alto, then a baritone, then a bassoon, then a trumpet, and then a tenor for the most part. Talk about got some talent. George Coleman, NEA Jazz Master, joining me right now, and it's so good to see you, sir. Congratulations, and thanks for taking some time.
Thank you, Russ.
Well, all right. I'm the person who just called you and said, Mr. Coleman, I'm calling you from the National Endowment for the Arts, and we have just named you an NEA Jazz Master. What was your reaction?
Well, strangely enough, my reaction was, this is a great honor, very prestigious, but there's so many of my predecessors and some of my contemporaries that I felt deserved the honors even more than me or just as much. That's how I looked at it. So it's not really all about me, because this music is not all about you. It encompasses a lot of talent from all over the world. And fortunately for me, I've been all over the world. And I've run into some of these great gifted people. So, you know, it's not so much about me. You know, I enjoyed it, all the awards and the medallions and all of that stuff. It's all good. But there are so many others, some that have passed away and never got it. And I think about those people. Those are people I think about. Some of my great friends and fellow musicians. So I, but I do appreciate the award. It's quite significant as far as my life is concerned, because I'm at the twilight zone, you know. I just turned 80, so, you know, and I've been around a while.
Well, you wear a tenor saxophone well, and you wear humility well as well. I remember Wynton Marsalis said something to me one time that Art Blakey had told him when they were in a rehearsal. He said, we had to stop the rehearsal because somebody was causing some problems. He said, you are not the issue. The issue is the issue. And that, you know, I think that's kind of a little bit of your philosophy, too. It's not all about George Coleman. It's about jazz. And this music's bigger than all of us.
Some of my contemporaries and predecessors.
Thank you.
George Coleman leading his own quartet with a cut from the album At Yoshi's titled Leg Goblin Blues. He's famous for having worked with a number of the greats of jazz history, among them Miles Davis, as he did on the title cut from the album Seven Steps to Heaven on Jazz America from VOA 1. Great George Coleman working with the Miles Davis Quintet, the title cut from Seven Steps to Heaven. More of the work of George Coleman, brand new NEA Jazz Master, and more conversation with him coming up. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America at voanews.com. And here is one of the many emails I've had recently in correspondence from and communication with Lance Gaskill, who listens to Jazz America every Saturday morning. He writes to me, here in Rwanda on FM 104.3. Thanks so much. My family and I live in Rwanda, Africa, in the capital city of Kigali. We've been in Rwanda since 2011, involved with our music mission work of introducing musical instruments into the country. We're part of a small group of people on the pioneering edge of the growth of music in Rwanda. Two schools in Kigali now have a band program within the last year. One of them, of course, is the great band led by Mr. Lance Gaskill. And he goes on in one of his messages to say how much they really like the Gordon Goodwin Big Fat Band. We have a request to see if you could do a special Jazz America show on Gordon Goodwin and the incredible band he has assembled. Please let us know so we can be sure to catch it on the radio. Well, I tell you what, Lance, if I have a chance to speak with Gordon Goodwin, I would be happy to share that special with you and share with you some of the Grammy award-winning work by the Los Angeles-based Gordon Goodwin Big Fat Band. In fact, here's some Grammy Award-winning work from them right now, from the album Life in the Bubble. The song is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. Just for you, Lance Gaskill, leading a great big band in Kigali, Rwanda, and listening to VOA's Jazz America.
This is violinist Regina Carter, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
That song may be familiar to you as one of the famous songs from what was called the Motown era, the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. And one of the bands that came from there was the band known as the Temptations. One of their most famous songs, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, interpretation in a jazzy vein by the great violinist from Detroit, Regina Carter, with help from vocalist Cassandra Wilson from the album Rhythms of the Heart. And I wanted to play that for you first because it's a great piece of music, a pop song turned into jazz, and also it's a way for us to once again pay homage to the great Marcus Belgrave, the great trumpeter and teacher from Detroit who helped great artists like Regina Carter emerge from Detroit to the worldwide stage. He just passed away at the age of 78, as you heard us mention earlier this hour here on Jazz America. We also mentioned earlier this hour here on Jazz America that George Coleman is one of the 2015 National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Masters for this year. Let's continue our conversation with him right now and hear more of his wonderful music. One of the first things that I thought of when I saw the list of folks being inducted into the 2015 NEA Jazz Masters was, of the three musicians, two of them, you and Charles Lloyd, happen to be from Memphis, Tennessee. And yeah. I got to make a point of this, and I talked to Charles about this too. And he said he found out it was just coincidence, but it says a lot about the incredible place that is Memphis, Tennessee. And I want to get to that just a little bit, if you will, because I think folks listening around the world think of, okay, New Orleans, birthplace of jazz, went up the river to Chicago, as you did. There's that West Coast scene, of course, New York City. But maybe they overlook some of the great, great centers. And would you give the folks listening around the world that may not know so much about Memphis just a quick idea? They're probably thinking, okay, Memphis soul, the blues, but there's jazz too.
Yes, well, you know, during the era that I came up in, there were so many talented, gifted guys in Memphis. There was Phineas Newborn, of course, Harold Mayburn, who was like my contemporary. He came up along with me. And, of course, Booker Little, the youngster who passed away, unfortunately, when he was like 23 years old. And he was a genius. He was like Freddie Hubbard and, you know, and Lee Morgan and those kind of people. He was just fantastic. And for him to have absorbed as much music at such a young age, it was phenomenal. It was really phenomenal. And I studied right there in Memphis, in Mitchell's Hotel, where we used to stay and play. Yeah.
And you and Charles played together and stayed friends.
Yeah, Charles and I, we were quite close together, you know.
So great benefit from coming from Memphis.
We examined all the different guys, man. Yeah, man. You know, we were listening to Shorty Rogers stuff and Jerry stuff and some of the West Coast guys, as well as the East Coast bebop guys like Bird, Charlie Parker. We were transcribing all of that music back in those days, very young age, you know.
Yeah, that's a point I'm going to make. Now, you are just a little young to have been right in the middle of bebop as one of the established artists. You were a young guy, and bebop was in full force and moving on when you jumped into the stream.
Well, I was sold once I heard Bird. When I heard Charlie Parker, that was what I really wanted to play, and that's what I fashioned my career, you know, in accordance with that particular type of playing. That was something that I enjoyed listening to. There were several others too. There were some of the older guys like Coleman Hawkins, Ben Webster, and people like that I truly liked, and then Don Byers was a phenomenal player, and he was from that tree, it seems, you know, for want of a better word. Coleman Hawkins, Ben West, but his fluidity on the saxophone and his technique was phenomenal. Thank you.
You just heard George Coleman proving the fact that he certainly has listened to some Charlie Parker and fell in love with the bebop style over the years. That's his very bebop version of The Sheik of Araby on the tenor sax from his album My Horns of Plenty. George Coleman, brand new NEA jazz master. Well, here's a gentleman who would have been 84 years old on Saturday, the 6th of June. He's guitarist Grant Green, who was born on the 6th of June in 1931, giving us his version of the James Brown soul classic Ain't It Funky Now from the album Green Is Beautiful on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you.
funky now indie, Grant Green, classic work from the great guitarist. More great work from George Coleman, NEA Jazz Master, next hour. Stay tuned.